This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Current Affairs on BFM 89.9 with Melissa Idris and also Sharad Kutan. Yesterday, veteran journalist Syed Zahari passed away at the age of 88. He was a big name in Malaysian journalism. He led the strike against UMNO's takeover of Utusan in 1961 and was also a political prisoner in Singapore under Lee Kuan Yew's administration. So joining us on the line now to discuss his life and legacy is Syed Hussein Ali, former senator and political activist with Parti Rakyat and then also PKR.
Syed is also a well-known sociologist and a former political prisoner himself. Good morning, Syed.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, very quickly, how do we put Syed Zahari's life and work in its proper political and historical context? How would you begin?
Well, actually, he was always associated with Utusan Melayu, which was then in Singapore, and then later it moved to Kuala Lumpur. Now, Utusan Melayu had always been in the forefront for national struggle of independence, you know, in Malaya then. And of course, always fought for the poor, especially among the Malays. And there were a lot of leftists who were in Utusan, which was then led by Samad Ismail. And of course, Syed Zahari was working there, and he himself was progressive in his ideas.
Now, one of the things that he did cover during his time as a journalist was because of that very important Baling talks that brought the British colonial government together with the Communist Party of Malaya and other stakeholders, UMNO included. Was his coverage of the Baling talks important? Were you actually reading this at the time? I don't know how old you were at this point in time, Syed, but what do you know of that particular event and his coverage of it?
Well, of course, when he sometimes, gives his reminiscence about what he did then, you know. And of course, he was there as a young journalist for Utusan. And I think he made a good coverage of what happened in Utusan then, you know.
In his book, he does, in fact, suggest that Tunku, the first prime minister of Malaysia, in some ways kind of colluded with the British. I mean, was it a shocking revelation? I know it's in his book, Dark Clouds at Dawn. Had you first heard of that suggestion in his book, or had you heard of it earlier?
I think he mentioned it even earlier, you know, somewhere in his writings in Utusan, you know. And the impression at that time was, in fact, you know, that Gu was supposed to have colluded with the British. And it was, in fact, to show the British how he was quite independently stand against Chin Peng, you know, in not reconciling with the demands of Chin Peng.
Now, in when we come back, can we just move towards the Utusan Melayu strike of 1961? Why was it significant?
Well, in a sense, well, one thing is that he fought for press freedom. He wanted, you know, no political interference in the media, and he defended, of course, freedom of expression through the media. There was one, and what important thing. The second one is that it was the longest Malay strike in the history of in the industrial relationship in industrial relations in the country. And the third thing is that he was fighting Tunku, you know, who sent his men to take over Utusan.
Now, this takeover, how do we understand it? A nationalist, a leading Malay nationalist party wants control over a leading nationalist newspaper. We might not think of that as such an incongruous kind of relationship. What was at stake at that point? I mean, why did the party need to take over Utusan Melayu?
Because Utusan had, you know, had an independent stand, which was more progressive, of course, than Tunku, and sometimes critical of Tunku. That was one. Secondly, of course, that was the time of the Indonesian confrontation, you know, and Utusan was not, of course, fully supportive of Tunku, whom they saw as being almost as a crony of British imperialism, you know. And I think Sri Tengku saw this. And he wanted to have control of Utusan because Utusan's leadership was Malay and mainly rural.
In the mainstream understanding of the politics of confrontation, Malaysians are told that we had an aggressive Indonesia under Sukarno wanting to crush Malaysia, a very young nation. I think the campaign was called Ganyang Malaysia. Why? And if you had dissenting voices, would that now strike us as odd that somehow, why would anybody not be on Tunku's side in the fight against Sukarno's Indonesia and its aggressive policies then?
Well, you must remember, of course, at that time, it was a rather radical movement, not only in Indonesia, but in Asia and Africa, following the Bandung Conference and all that. That was one. You know, it was a radical movement that defended integrity and liberation of the developing world. And here came the British and even the American, using Malaysia as a kind of warship, to attack Indonesia. There was the perception of the situation at that time. And of course, Said, being the progressive he was always against, collaboration with British and American imperialism. And he was always in support of the Afro-Asian and Bandung spirit, for liberation and independence. And for that reason, of course, yes.
So very quickly, we can move on to Syed now. Having been pushed out of Malaysia, he goes back to the land of his birth, Singapore. He gets elected as chairman of Parti Rakyat Singapura and almost immediately is detained for such a long time. 17 years, I think, is what they say. And many years spent in solitary confinement. Why was the PAP government so harsh in its treatment of Syed Zahari?
Well, those people who were detained under the cold store, most of them were detained more than 17 years. Most of them, because that is the nature of Singapore and Lee Kuan Yew. Now, Lee Kuan Yew would have nothing less than these people admit that they were communists and they were undermining the government of Singapore. Well, whereas these people had never been communists. Even Sin Siong was never a member of the Communist Party, He might have very radical ideas. So, in the case of Syed, we were joking at that time among friends, Syed, he won't last for 1 year because, he's a happy-go-lucky person. But that is the attitude that helped him to stay that long. Now, a few years after his detention, there was news that he was going to be released. I went down to Singapore, being a close friend of his, went to see his family, went to see his friend, and we tried to arrange for a reception when he gets out. But Kuan Yew heard about this, and apparently this was used as a reason to continue with his detention. They asked him to repent. They asked him to own up that he was a communist and all that, which he refused to do. And that's why he stayed that long.
Syed, lastly, what is for you the last, as a friend, as a fellow political activist on that end of the political spectrum from that part of our history, what do you think Syed's lasting contribution is?
Well, he's, of course, a well-known writer and journalist. And he's one of the foremost of the Malay journalists, besides Samad Ismail. And of course, through journalism and Utusan Melayu, he contributed towards the fight for freedom, press freedom especially, and also for independence in the country. And of course, he has written a number of books which describe his past. All these are important contributions, I think, to society.
Thank you very much. That was Syed Hussein Ali, former senator and political activist of Parti Rakyat Malaysia, and also, and now, of course, a Parti Keadilan Rakyat. I'm Sharad Kutin, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.